15. Have to confess that this is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I don't know if you're supposed to have favorites or not, but I do. This is one of them. Ephesians 1 is awful popular with me as well. 1 John chapter 1, Romans 8. But John 15 is one of those. We're going to look this morning at the vineyard of God. And not very long into study time on Monday morning, I discovered that we weren't going to get very far in John 15. And so, as I looked at it, I thought, there's five or six sermons right here. And so what we're going to look at is the vineyard of God. This morning we're going to look at the vineyard of God, the personnel. As God permits, in ensuing weeks, we're going to look at the vineyard of God, the process, the burning and the pruning. We're going to look at the vineyard of God, the product, fruit. The vineyard of God, the proposal, abide in me. And the vineyard of God, the promise, prayer. So let me read these verses in John 15 this morning. That will be our focus for, God willing, the next several weeks. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The one he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you prove that you would be my disciples. The vineyard of God. No doubt you noticed there are some specific individuals mentioned in this passage. I call them personnel, and I hope you wouldn't be offended by that. But on the way out of the upper room where Jesus and his disciples had just instituted the Lord's Supper that we observed this morning in remembrance of him, on the way out, he said, rise, let us go from here. He pauses. Now, I'll let you decide whether he just kind of paused in the doorway and taught chapters 15, 16, and 17, or they went back into the room, or whether they made their way to Gethsemane and he taught as they went. I don't know. But the location of the teaching is not nearly as important as the teaching itself. His teaching is a metaphor, and I yield to any English experts here, okay? A metaphor, I understand, is a word used in place of another word. There were some commentators who called it a parable. I'm not going to get into a debate about that because I would lose, because debating English would be a fallacy on my part. I'm going to call it a metaphor, okay? And this is not a horticultural lesson teaching about vineyards. This is Jesus dealing with the Christian life, the life of a disciple of his, a follower of his, and what that looks like. Now, this setting, this context, this vineyard was something very familiar to these guys. It was very familiar throughout the Holy Lands for thousands of years. If you'll remember when Noah, when the ark came to rest and the land dried up and Noah got out, I think it's about after a year, one of the first things he did was he planted a vineyard. So this is something that is so common to that culture. And Jesus used this metaphor to teach, again, not about vineyards, literally, but about the Christian life, the kingdom business. And so today I want us to look at the personnel that he identifies in the vineyard. First of all, the first personnel would be the vine dresser. The vine dresser. He said very matter-of-factly, "My Father is the vine dresser." And we know that his Father is Jehovah God. The vine dresser, in your translation, it may say husbandman, okay? Sometimes that was thought of as a person who just kind of did the menial task of the vineyard. You know, took care of the weeding, I guess, and you know, just the menial task. That's not who the vine dresser is. He is not a hired servant. No, the vine dresser is the owner here of the vineyard. He is the creator of the vineyard. He is more than just a caretaker. He is responsible for and is active on a daily basis with the vineyard. He's personally invested. He's personally interested. He's personally committed to the vineyard. It's his focus. He doesn't just go out and let it take care of itself. He is so intricate in his care of his vineyard, he knows what every branch is doing. He's hands-on. He's intricately involved in this, his vineyard. He's the one in charge. We could say he is sovereign over his vineyard. The vine dresser. He makes all the decisions specific to the vineyard. He makes all the decisions. He evaluates the performance of every branch in the vineyard. Did you notice here that the vine dresser does not evaluate the vine? As I was reading this and watching the vine dresser be so intricately involved with the branches, he doesn't evaluate the vine. He doesn't determine if the vine is doing a good job or not. The vine dresser doesn't evaluate the vine's performance. The vine dresser's expectation for every branch is that that specific branch bears fruit. After all, that's the purpose of the vineyard. That's the change issue. Does that branch bear fruit? Now, we're not going to tell you what that fruit is today, okay? You'll have to come back for that. And we're not going to get into the pruning and burning really either today either. You'll have to come back from that. We're going to have it, folks, back every week, I hope, Andy. I'd want to know what the fruit is, wouldn't you? Because without it, you're a brush pile. He's also the fire starter. Did I mention that? The vine dresser is also the fire starter that burns up the branches that don't produce the fruit. Fruit production is the source of evaluation. He doesn't interview the branches. He doesn't determine if they're trying real hard. He doesn't evaluate if they look pretty on the vine. The one thing and the one thing only that he is interested in, does the branch bear fruit? Period. Absolute. Fruit, no fruit. So in summary, regarding the vine dresser, it's a heavy word, Andy. You notice that? Okay. The vine dresser is the evaluator, the inspector, the decision maker, the eliminator, the pruner, the fire starter, the fire stoker. All of those come with his job description. He is sovereign over his vineyard. Now, branches, let's pay attention. We have no input into the affairs of the vineyard. We are not on the corporate board making decisions. We're not evaluators. We're not fire starters. We're not eliminators. We're not fruit inspectors. None of those. Those are all for the vine dresser. Our responsibility, our only responsibility, is not input but output of fruit, as determined by him and not by us of one another. The vine dresser. The second personnel, if you'll permit that this morning, is the vine. Jesus started this chapter in verse 1, and he said, I am the true vine. I thought that was interesting, that he just didn't say, I'm the vine. No, he said, I am the true vine. Apparently there were other vines. We know one that exists if you go back and read in Psalms 80, the vine that came out of Egypt. Who came out of Egypt? Israel. And Israel is identified as a vine on a number of occasions in the Old Testament. We'll touch on some other vines, false vines, here in just a little bit. Jesus, though, is the true vine. The vine that can and will be the source of the fruit that the vine dresser is after. Only in the true vine is there life. All of these other vines. There was no life in Israel. There was no life in keeping the law. There's no life in all of the false religions and the false philosophies of this world. There is no life in any of those. There are things that people do, things that people invest their lives in. And as we know recently from the news, people that will even, quote-unquote, give their lives for, but there's no life. There is only life in the true vine. And only in the true vine is there fruit that the vine dresser will accept. Jesus said it very plainly, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the true vine. Only is the true vine, in the true vine, is the vine dresser invested and focused. The vine is the source of life. It provides the nutrients that go to the branches so that fruit is produced. You see, if the nutrients aren't flowing to the branches, the branch will never be able to produce fruit. The vine dresser planted the vine. The vine is by him. It is from him. It is him. I and the Father are one, he's already told us. For it's only in the vine, that the vine dresser can demonstrate who he is. It is through the activity of the vine, as the fruit is produced by the branches, that the vine dresser is fulfilled in his character of love. The vine, as we said a while ago, is never evaluated. It's never chastised or blamed or judged or rewarded. This is all left just for the branches. The vine is the dynamic, tangible evidence of action. The vine is the personification of the vine dresser. And no other vine, Israel or religions or philosophies, all those things, not even Satan who wanted to be. Nothing or no one is a vine that can give life. If you seek life today, whether that be eternal life or abundant life now, it is found in one place and one place only, in the true vine. There is no other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only the true vine. Finally, we come to the third personnel mentioned here, the branches. Jesus acknowledges that there are branches. Did you see that? I am the true vine. My Father's a vine dresser. Every branch of mine, don't cut that out. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, that phrase, every branch of mine, be careful here. Be careful here. Don't be one of those nitpicky folks who go through and say, there it is, and start a denomination over one phrase. You have to be cautious when we look at this passage. We have to read it and consider it in the context of all of Scripture. Because if some of the truths that people have plucked out of this, it will contradict with the other scripture. For example, this passage does not support work salvation. It does not support work salvation. It does not support the fact that if you produce fruit, okay, that you're saved. Because you don't produce any fruit. We'll get there in just a second. It does not support a work salvation. It does not teach losing salvation. Those branches, those every branch of mine, there are two things that can happen to a branch. It can be cut off and burned, or it can be pruned. So is this a passage that's teaching that you can lose your salvation? I don't think so. If so, it contradicts all of those scriptures that talk about the security of the believer. And that's not a Baptist doctrine, by the way. That's a Bible doctrine. I would advise those who don't believe in security of the believer to read the Bible instead of chasing some teaching of people. So it doesn't support work salvation. It doesn't teach losing salvation. There is a definite stated difference, though, in the branches. You can't get around that. There is a definite difference in the branches in Jesus' teaching. Now, I think it's important that we note the context of time here, okay? The context of time as in where Jesus is. Just moments before, from the same room where I believe he was teaching still, Judas got up and left. Remember? He looked at him, Jesus looked at Judas, and he said, what you have to do, do it quickly. And Judas got up and left. Now Judas was called by Jesus. Judas walked with Jesus for 3 years. He was just as much with Jesus as John or Peter or Andrew or any of the other 11. And I couldn't help but see that there was some context here that was important. Judas looked like a disciple. He did disciple stuff. But he wasn't a disciple. Said another way, he looked like a branch, but he wasn't a branch. You know the old thing, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck? No, not for this. If it bears fruit, it's a branch. If it doesn't bear fruit, it only looks like a branch. Every person in this room is a branch. The key question is, are you a fruit-bearing branch? That's the issue. So there are two types of branches, those who bear fruit and those who don't. And Jesus went on to say about Judas in John 17, he said to the Father in that, what we call the high priestly prayer, he said, all of these have I kept, meaning the 12. Okay? All of these I have kept, except the son of perdition. Judas was not kept by the Lord. He was cut off and burned. And the scripture is pretty graphic about that. Life can flow from the vine to produce fruit only when the branch is connected to the vine so that life can flow. Are you with me? And if one is connected to the vine, take this one home with you. If one is connected to the vine, there will be fruit. Not optional. Not evaluated by us of each other either. One and one alone evaluates fruit. The vine dresser. And what you and I may call fruit, he may not. Do we understand that? Oh, we're pretty good. We're pretty good at this fruit checking for, you know, no fruit in that guy's life, or she's not doing much, and that kind of, that doesn't matter what you and I think. All that matters is when the vine dresser looks on individual branches, does he see fruit according to his definition? Well, we'll have to get out extra chairs, Andy, when we get to that one, won't we? I'm not going to tell you what that is today. If you are connected to the vine, there will be fruit. Not optional. Now, I did notice also that quantity wasn't brought into the equation. Did you notice that? You know, Mark back there, he's got 6 bushels of fruit, okay? And Linda, God bless him, he's got a pocket full. That is not in here, is it? Quantity is not mentioned. In fact, if you look over here, that when the pruning occurs, we'll touch on that another time, that it may bear more fruit. So Mark back there with his several bushels is going to get pruned too, so he can produce more fruit. And Lindell, he's going to get pruned, so he can produce more fruit. And there's not a finite number out there that you have to shoot for. Fruit, no fruit, more fruit. You get it? The source of the fruit is not the branch. It's the vine. Therefore, you have to be connected to the vine to produce the fruit. If you're not connected to the vine, you can want to, you can hustle, you can do whatever, but you will not produce fruit unless you're connected to the vine. The branch is but a conduit between the vine and the fruit. Some of us were talking about the ice storm of whatever year it was. I don't know. We debated that. We never did decide, okay? 2007. There's my good friend from Dallas County. No debate now. 2007, okay. And we talked about, you know, it was raining, you know, we thought the temperature was a little less, we'd have another ice storm, that kind of thing, okay? Do you remember, some of you rich people won't because you weren't without electricity, but some of us poor folks out north, I can remember the sheer terror of going home that Sunday. and turning the light on, and nothing happened. Nothing happened. And I don't know for how many weeks after we got the electricity back, I would just go through there and I'd turn the light on very cautiously. Oh, you know. We were that just a little bit less than yawns. They were a day more than us, I think. 10 days over here, we were good, whatever less than that was, a day, 9 days, I guess. 2 weeks, whatever, I don't know. Woo! But you know, in all that time, okay, I never did focus on the electrical wiring in the house. I never blamed the wire. I never rejoiced when the lights came back on. Way to go, wire! The wire was not important. It's the generation of the electricity somewhere. That's where the light was coming from. The wire was just a means of transferring it. Folks, I hate to mess up your day and your self-esteem and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I'm just a conduit. That's all we as branches are. We don't create fruit. We don't evaluate fruit. We're just conduit. The vine creates the fruit. Don't lose sight of that. It'll help you a bunch. The vine creates the fruit. So there are two kinds of branches. One that does not bear fruit and one that does bear fruit. Notice the non-bearing branches are dealt with before the fruit-bearing branches are. Did you see that? Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And then every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. I don't know that there's got to be something there. It's just too obvious. But He deals with the non-fruit-bearing branches before He deals with the pruning of the fruit-bearing branches. Fruit determines connection. It does not define affiliation. It does not define performance. Fruit determines connection. That's it. That's it. How many times do you think He used the word abide in this passage? Huh? How many times do you think He used abide? Abide, permanence and steadfastness in the relationship. That's what abide means here. Permanence and steadfastness in the relationship. Once you are connected to the vine, you shall produce fruit all the days of your lives. Abide means staying, steadfastness, permanence. You see, the branches that don't bear fruit are never connected. They look like branches. They hang around with branches, maybe. They do branch kind of stuff on the surface. But they are not branches that produce fruit. Appearance, position, don't determine if a branch is genuine. Only fruit. Fruit is the issue, the proof. So simply stated, there are true branches, and there are branches that are pretend branches. Maybe similar to Judas. Look like a disciple. Walk like a disciple. Walk beside disciples. But he wasn't a disciple. The determination of which branch you and I are is not only determined by fruit, but also destiny. One of those teachings coming in the future will be this issue of pruning and burning. That's a startling thought, to be honest with you. And whether pruned or burned is all based on one thing, and that's fruit. Production that the vine dresser calls fruit. So this morning, every one of us in this room is a branch. A branch in the vineyard of God. And every one of us is bound for burning or pruning. That is a startling statement. You say, "Oh, I don't believe so." You know, I think if a guy's sincere, if he tries hard, if she's, you know, kind of comes to church every now and then, puts a little money in the box, you know, she's got to be good for something. She's got to get a little playtime in the kingdom. No. The vine dresser says fruit, prune. No fruit, burn. That will not play well out at the churches that are trying to have thousands in attendance. It's not popular, but it's real. It's what he said. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. I don't know who you are or who I am. I'm counting on the fact that I'm producing fruit that is pleasing to the vine dresser. Okay? I believe that. And I know that many of you believe that you are. We'll look at that fruit in the future, and this will become clearer. But I know this morning. God the Holy Spirit is speaking to every branch in here that does not bear fruit. How do you know that? Because Jesus said, when the Comforter comes, he will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. It's that heaviness that one person shared was just lifted. There's a conviction by God the Holy Spirit. I'm not adding to that conviction this morning because that's not my job. I'm just a branch. But if the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, is speaking to you today and says the vine dresser finds no fruit, I would sure pay attention. I would sure pay attention. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, this one of those passages could be labeled, that doesn't feel good. This is a passage that grinds down inside our heart of hearts. And if Jesus hadn't delivered it himself, I suppose there could be some debate or whatever that Paul or Peter or whomever didn't really mean that. Jesus said it. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch produces fruit or doesn't. So, Father, I pray that as you promised, you'd send the Spirit, that he would do what you said he would do, convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. And Father, I pray that each of us would be honest with what you are saying, Holy Spirit, whether or not the vine dresser is sees fruit or whether he doesn't. Your vineyard, Father, your will,